Guan graduated from Brown University in the year 2014.
Yes.
From Brown University, the same university that I got my PhD. Then during his PhD, he worked on quantum Hall systems and all kind of experiments related to theoretical research. Then since he moved to Riken, he has been working on Marana fermions, spintronics, all kinds of things. And today he's going to talk about Marana bound states in magnetic fermions.
Okay, thanks, Shenjie, for the introduction and for inviting me to the to PI. Okay, I'll be using this stick as a pointer. Today I will talk about Majorana bound states in magnetic skirmions. So so these days Majorana bound states is a hot topic in condensed matter because they are a promising candidate for using them to, for fault tolerant quantum computings. There are several attempts so far, a lot of the attempts and proposals for realizing Majorana fermions in particular Majorana bound state in condensed matter. And one of them is if you have an atomic chain like this, and then you put a piece of S-wave superconductor underneath it, and then if there's a helical spin along this atomic chain, then this helical chain will provide it's like odd parity pairing in the superconductivity, and then this will give you a so-called topological superconductivity, and then at the boundary of the system, then you will find a Majorana bound state. This has been done experimentally by several groups, and there has been experimental signatures for this system that for the observation of Majoranas. And then today I will be focusing on Majorana bound states in condensed matter. And then here we considered actually the two-dimensional generalization of one-dimensional helical spin chain, and which is basically a magnetic skirmion. And you, as you see, this is a non-coplanar magnetic order, and then there's a variation of spin direction as you go both radial and azimuthal direction. This kind of structure will also host Majoranas, just like similar to this case. But so we did some investigation of this structure, and then I will be explaining the result about this. So first, I would like to show you the collaborators. So. This is Peter Stano from Riken, and that's where I work right now. And then this is my boss, Daniel Laus, from Riken, and also University of Basel, and also Yelena Kilovaja from Basel. So I will spend, here's the outline of the talk. I will spend a portion of time discussing Majorana fermions in general in solid state systems. And then I will be also discussing some basics of magnetic skirmions. Then I will show you some results about Majorana bound states in magnetic skirmions and some scheme for predicting Majorana bound state in such systems. So it starts from a high energy point of view of Majoranas, as many of you may have know it very well. So it's proposed for neutrinos. It's basically a self-adjoint fermion, and it's governed by a real Dirac equation. So so this equation, this operator is real. If you could find a pure imaginary representation of the Dirac matrices, and then you can make it real, and then you have a fermionic operator governed by this equation. And it's chargeless in the sense that you cannot couple a gauge field to the fermion while keeping it's still pure real. So it's chargeless, doesn't couple to the U1 gauge field, electromagnetic gauge field. Then 1 decade ago, people have started to think about if there are any realization of Majorana's in condensed matter. So people think about operator that is constructed by both the creation annihilation operator of a fermionic operator. And then this could happen in a system, in a superconducting system, which is spinless. So you don't have indices for the species. And then if you can find an operator, of course, a particle operator, which is linear combination of creation and annihilation operators, and then they have equal weight, then if you make, you can see this is immediately a self-adjoint operator. This will be our candidate for Majoranas. Of course, by any artificial definition, you can always find an operator like this. But the beauty of Majoranas in condensed matter is that they are localized excitations. So these are the excitations described by these operators that are localized. So you could find some condensed matter entities that are interesting. So so the first prototype model of Majoranas in one dimension is given by Kitaev. It's the famous Kitaev chain. I will just briefly review it here. So basically, you have a chain of fermions. This is just a usual complex fermion operator. And you have this chemical potential term and this Hopping term. And then you could have these fermions are spinless, basically they are single species. Then if you add a pairing term, a superconducting pairing potential term, then you'll find that this pairing actually give you some exotic excitations, in particular Majoranas. So if you go over to the momentum space, you'll find this pairing is actually odd parity in momentum. So it's actually P wave, and you can divide the phase into two different regimes. In certain regimes, so first of all, you can decompose usual fermion operator into like it's a real and imaginary part, and then you can think of each site as composed of two operators. This is one fermion complex fermion operator, or equivalently, this is two real fermion operators, and then you can find two different phases, two different parameter spaces. In one parameter space, when the chemical potential is larger than the Hopping, then you find that this real part of the fermions on each set actually they bind to each other. So these are just the trivial phase. But if your chemical potential is smaller than the Hopping, then actually the intersite coupling is stronger than the intraset coupling, and then actually these so one real fermion in each site will couple to the real fermion next to it, on the set next to it, and then you find one isolated real fermion at each end of the chain, and these become then you find non-local real fermions. These are the bound states, and these turn out to be the Majorana bound state in this system. If your chemical potential is zero, then you can actually rewrite this Hamiltonian in terms of these real fermion operators, and in this case, and you find that in this parameter regime, when chemical potential is zero, these two operators actually do not show up in your Hamiltonian. And then explicitly, the states created by these two operators are zero energy state. And then, so then you get a zero energy Majorana bound state. And then these two operators at each end of the fermion chain, you can actually, these two can decide a fermion state by, you can construct them, operator by these two Majorana end state operators. And then first of all, this, as we said, this operator create can you, then you have, you can have two level degeneracy. One is when, and then this defines a fermion state. So if this fermion state is not filled, then you have one state, and then you have another state when this fermion operator is filled. Then you have two level ground state, two level zero energy degeneracy, and then this is so then you can you can if you can find some transformation that that transforms between these two states, then you can use this two level ground state degeneracy for maybe for information manipulation. That's the idea of Majorana bound state, the application of Majorana bound states in condensed matter. So this is just a one dimensional case. So then you could also consider Majorana bound states in two dimensions. So there earlier than this Kitaev fermion chain, Reed and Green proposed spinless superconductor, odd pairing superconductor in two dimensions. This actually they established a more general connection of this model to quasi particle excitations in quantum Hall state at Fini factor 5.5. And people, and there are also quasi particles that obey this Majorana bound state like properties. So in this case, you can actually assume this chemical you can assume chemical potential varies very slowly, and then you can solve low energy spectrum of this model, and then you can find two different parameter spaces. One is when chemical potential is greater than zero, the other is when chemical potential is smaller than zero. Then at the boundary between, and then these two parameter regime actually define two topological phases. Then just like the case of Kitaev chain, at the boundary between these two phases, you find some Majorana excitations. These Majorana excitations, depending on the boundary conditions, whether it is periodic or underperiodic, they can have non-zero energies or zero energies. So, if in particular, if you have an odd number of flux quanta inserted inside, for example, a cylindrical structure like this, then you will find actually a Majorana bound state which actually at zero energy. And then this gives you zero energy Majorana bound state, just we found also in Kitaev chains. Of course, if you shrink this this trivial phase into a point, then this is equivalent to a superconducting vortex in a superconducting vortex. Then this explicitly shows you that in a P wave superconductor described by such a system, then you can find Majorana bound state in superconducting vortices, which have zero energies. So So this is a two-dimensional toy model for Majorana bound state in condensed matters. So then once we have Majorana bound state, we can apply them for some quantum computing. For example, as I explained in the Kitaev model, and also in this P plus IP superconductor, we could have a set of Majorana bound states that far away from each other, and then if they are far away enough, then they don't appear in the Hamiltonian, and then you can think of them as spanning a ground state zero energy degeneracy. Then for example, if you have n Majoranas, then the dimension of your ground state zero energy degeneracy is 2 to the n divided by 2. Then if you actually Ivanov showed explicitly the transformation rule that if you interchange two Majoranas, and then this gives you a non-abelian transformation which gives you transformation actually between these different states in the ground state degeneracy. And then so in this sense, Majorana bound state can be potentially applied for quantum computing just by bringing the Majoranas and then store information in this ground state degeneracy. Now, then because these Majoranas, two real Majorana operators gives you a physical state. If you perturb this, so this means that the information is stored non-locally within two Majorana operators. If you perturb one Majorana operator locally, this information will in principle not be affected. And therefore, if you apply these Majorana operators for quantum computing, then in principle, you can expect some stability of this information stored in the Majorana operators to disorder or local perturbations. That's the idea of quantum computing, topological quantum computing with Majorana operators. So there are so I have discussed a little bit about the toy models of Majorana bound state in condensed matter. Now what are the practical realization of Majorana bound states in condensed matter systems, in solid state systems? So, well, there are a few proposals. You could look at intrinsic P plus IP superconductor, which is basically the two-dimensional toy model I was talking about. You could also consider some exotic quantum Hall state, in particular the Moore Reed state at Finney factor 5/2 in the second Landau level. And there you could find similar Majorana quasi particle excitations that transform in the same way as Majorana bound state. Or more practically, we can consider synthetic topological superconductors. For example, you can place a piece of topological insulator on top of a conventional S-wave superconductor, and then you at the superconducting vortices you will find a Majorana bound state, or you can consider Fermi superfluid, more recently people have thought about using a heterostructure magnetic insulator in the semiconductor and S-wave superconductor sandwich. This spin orbit interaction is used to to generate pairing of electrons with parallel spin components. This gives you some sort of spinless superconductivity pairing I described earlier. And then this magnetic insulator is used to break the time reversal symmetry, so it can give you a spinless operator, and then you have this pairing. So along this line, there have been quite a few proposals. For example, then people think about if it is possible to combine these two ingredients into one, then this makes it simpler to construct a system that give you topological superconductivity and Majorana operators. So one way is to look at semiconductor with a helical magnetic order background. So this is first proposed in 2010 by Brunacker. So if you look at a helical spin structure, then you see that at this gives you a rotating Zeeman field. But actually, if you look at the local frame, that's equivalent to a gauge transformation, then locally you actually have a constant Zeeman field with a spin orbit interaction. So this constant Zeeman field plays the role of a magnetic insulator, and this effective spin orbit interaction generated by the rotation of the helical spin gives you this ingredient. So in a system with a helical spin texture, basically you can expect these first two ingredients of this proposal can be combined into one single one. And in this case, you just need to add a piece of a conventional superconductor to hope to get topological superconductivity and Majoranas. So here are several papers at the same time that propose that if you have a S-wave superconductor and you have a helical spin texture, then this gives you the necessary ingredient for generating topological superconductor. Then at the end of the system or the open boundary, you find a Majorana bound state. This basically give you a realization of the Kitaev chain, the one-dimensional topological superconductivity. With the same idea, there are also proposals which replace this helical spin texture with atomic chain, actually. And then inside of each atom, there's a spin, a localized spin. Then if this spin form a helical texture as you go along this spin chain, then effectively you have the same ingredient as these proposals. Then if you put a piece of conventional superconductor underneath it, then you expect to find two Majorana bound state at each end of the system. And
the Princeton experiment didn't have a
helical order, did it? You mean this one?
Yes.
They have I think this is the proposal for them for their case. They have a set of atomic.
Yeah, that's the setup. But I thought it would use a spin orbit coupling rather than helical order. Oh, I don't remember.
No, I don't think so. I think in this, if you are referring to this science paper, which is a Princeton one, I think they had.
The iron atoms on the surface of lead. Was it helical order on the?
I mean, in each atom, they do have a spin, a localized spin, which maybe approximately, I think.
Okay, well, my memory, but I may be wrong, was that in that experiment, the spins are polarized. It's a ferromagnet, but it's got spin orbit coupling. And somehow from the lead, and that's what gives you the.
Okay.
That was okay. My memory of what was going on, but
okay. Yeah, if you look at, I mean, these are the same order, right?
Yeah, Downey group, right?
Okay, that maybe my memory was. Well, I think that's what I remember. Yeah, okay. Apart from this experiment, there's a more recent experiment in Basel, in by I forgot the professor's name. They used atomic chain with a helical spin texture. That's what they did, and they were able to observe similar signatures. And actually, they were even able to fit the wave function square of the Majorana state with the measured local density of states. Of course, it's not very well matched, but there are some signature shows that.
What material was that?
I can show. Sorry, I forgot the material. Yeah, I can show. Yeah. Okay. So then now it come have spent almost half an hour discussing the background. Now here is our topic. So the slides before the previous slides show that if you have a semiconductor with a helical spin texture as a background, and then if you have a piece of conventional superconductor underneath it, then potentially you could generate a topological superconductivity and therefore Majorana bound state at the open boundaries of the systems. Now, can we generalize this idea to two dimensions? This is what our work is trying to answer, this question we're trying to answer. So of course we need to consider some spin texture that is non-coplanar in two dimensions. So the best candidate, one of the best candidates is the magnetic skirmion. This is also another magnetic structure recently discovered in condensed matter systems. As you see, the spins are a non-coplanar, and then roughly you can identify three regions of this structure. So at the core of the system, you have one spin, but in reality it's a set of spin that points to the same direction, for example pointing down. Then as you go outside, the spins vary both in radial direction and in asymptotic direction. And then at the very far asymptotic region, these spins will point to the opposite direction of the spins at the core, but they point to the same direction. So this is this magnetic skirmion is a topological spin texture. It's basically a spin monopole projected stereographically projected to a plane. So there are topological invariants that characterize this texture. So some a little bit of basics of magnetic skirmion. So you can find them in magnetic material with non-central with the lack of central symmetry, and then you could have this Zoyaskin-Moria interaction, or you can look at magnetic thin film with a magnetic dipolar interaction, and there's a perpendicular anisotropy. So then there's a competition between these two mechanisms. One favors the spins to be aligned inside the plane. The other prefers the spin to be perpendicular to the plane or to the configuration plane. Then you could have some non-coplanar magnetic structure. So this is a typical phase diagram of both systems, actually, although this paper actually addresses this first system. So you could have three different phases. When the magnetic field is very strong, of course, all the spins are aligned to the same direction, and you have a uniform phase. Then if you have a lower magnetic field, then actually these spins tend to form round structures, and some of them, these structures are magnetic skirmings. And then if you have even lower magnetic field, then the spins form helical spin textures. These are just the one-dimensional spin structure I was talking about earlier. People call them striped phase. So experimentally, these phase diagram has been verified, I think, both in these two systems. So here in their paper, they just call them skirmin phase, which replaces this bubble phase. So in bubble phase, you can have magnetic bubbles, but they could be skirmin with non-zero, with some topological indices that protect them. But there could also be some magnetic bubble that are non-topological. These are just round non-coplanar spin textures. And this phase, this helical phase is, and striped phase, they are basically the same thing. So this is a phase diagram. And how does a magnetic skirmion look like? Well, this is a schematic picture of magnetic skirmion. It's the same as the picture I showed you earlier. So you have the spin varies in both radial and azimuthal directions. So it's non-coplanar. So actually, when they do experiment, they started from this striped phase. This is the phase diagram. So this is the measured spin texture. So in this striped phase, as you can see, the spins actually, they are helical spin textures. As you go in this direction, the spin rotates, but within the plane. These are the stripes. But then as you increase this magnetic field, then you can enter this skirmin phase or bubble phase. Basically, these stripes are cut by the magnetic field and curved. And then they form some mesoscopic size round structures. Some of them are magnetic skirmins, just like this. Basically, you have a helical spin texture, and then it's cut and then curved and glued together. Then you get some spin texture like this. This spin texture is topological in the sense that you can define a topological charge as given by this. Basically, this is this n is the spin vector. This f of r is just the function that describes this spin texture. And more interestingly, people have found experimentally that you could have two types of this, and then they form a bound state. This happens when you have a skirmion that the spins have one, they call it helicity. Basically, that's the direction, that's the clockwise or or counterclockwise direction as the spins varies around the azimuthal direction. So if you have a skirmion where the spin in azimuthal direction, it changes clockwisely, and another spin, another skirmion where the spin changes counterclockwisely, then they can form a bound state to, for a lower energy. And then you have a biskirmion. This biskirmion has a topological charge 2, has an even topological charge. So this is a different skirmion than this one. This has a topological charge 1. As I'll show, actually, this topological charge, the even or odd, evenness or oddness of this topological charge actually decides whether there's a Majorana bound state inside the core of the skirmion or there's no Majorana bound state at all. So just show you, this skirmion can be driven by electric current. So basically, if you inject electric flow to the skirmion, this skirmion has effective magnetic field that deflect the electron current. And then by the conservation of momentum, then this skirmion, the electrons will be deflected by Lorentz force, and this skirmion will also be moved to the opposite direction. So basically, it can be driven by electric current, and in multi-ferroic materials, these skirmions can even be driven by electric field. So it's can be driven by a non-contact method. So if we could find a Majorana bound state inside the skirmion, basically then you can manipulate electrically the movement of Majorana bound state by moving the skirmion as a carrier of the Majorana bound state. That's the idea. So here's our model. So we solve a system with a magnetic skirmion, which is this n. The spin vector is this n. And then this skirmion is coupled through exchange coupling to the spin of itinerant electrons. So we assume itinerant electrons, and we assume a magnetic skirmion as a background, which is classical. So this is the term that describes the coupling between these two. And then I have a conventional superconductivity, S-wave superconductivity. Now I solve this simple model, and I hope to find some Majorana fermions. This f of r function, this is just to define just to match, to parameterize the spin texture of a skirmion. Just as I mentioned, so at the core of the skirmion, the spins point to the same direction. And then a little bit outside the core, the spin of this region 2, the spin of skirmion will tend to vary in both radial and azimuthal directions. And then finally, at the very far asymptotic region, the spins again point to the same direction. But the direction is opposite to the spins at the core. So so we solve this Hamiltonian for the quasi-particle spectrum and hope to find a Majorana bound state. So you can write down the Bogoliubov Dzhensky equation, and then solve the quasi-particle spectrum. So it is possible to find an operator which is angular momentum like in the system. That this operator commute with the BDJ Hamiltonian. So actually, the quasi-particle wave functions have a good quantum number, which is angular momentum. So then you can separate the azimuthal part and radial part of the quasi-particle wave function, basically. So this wave function is separated into two parts. This is the azimuthal part, and this is the radial part. This theta is the azimuthal coordinate. R is the radial coordinate. L is the angular momentum, and this phi is just the constant superconducting order parameter phase. Then we can argue that this wave function is single valued as you go around by 2 pi, as you go around the system by 2 pi. Then you can find actually only a certain combination of this N and L. Oh, here this N is actually topological charge of the skirmion. I think I should show you. This N is defined here inside the spin component, the spin vector of the skirmion. So it's actually a parameter that that is the topological charge. So now I have two parameters. One is angular momentum L. One is this N. And then certain combination of these two actually are permitted so that this wave function is single valued as you go around a circle. So if this N is even, you can only have integer L. And if this N is odd, you can have half integer L. You can also see how this wave function transforms under particle hole transformation. As if you apply, if you this operator, you can identify this particle operator, and if you apply this operator on the wave function, you find this angular momentum as actually goes to the negative of angular momentum. So naively, you would think if there's a non-degenerate zero mode, which is what we are looking for, zero mode. An anti-degenerate zero mode which satisfies self-adjoint condition. That's the Majorana zero mode. Then it has to go to itself as you apply this particle hole transformation. And because we have found that the angular momentum goes to a negative angular momentum as you apply this particle hole transformation, then we immediately conclude that non-degenerate zero mode, Majorana zero mode, is actually correspond to zero angular momentum quasi-particle state. So then we can just focus on this zero angular momentum sector and try to find the Majorana wave function. Of course, as I said, only a certain combination of N and L are allowed. So if this L is zero, then this N must be even. And remember, this N is actually the topological charge of a skirmion. So this means that if we are to find a Majorana bound state in a magnetic skirmion structure, the topological charge of the skirmion must be even. So therefore, a regular magnetic skirmion is not sufficient. You need to find some more exotic skirmions, like the two skirmion bound state I showed you earlier. That has a topological charge two. That's the simplest non-trivial skirmion with even topological charge. So actually, that's what we consider actually. So in following most of the result, I set this N to 2. That's the simplest skirmion with even topological charge. Now, yes?
So this locking between the parity of N and this integer, half integer of L, how do you argue that they have to be locked? Is that from just directly solving the BDG equation, or there are some kind of argument to see that?
To see why for even N you have integer L. Oh, as I said, I just require this wave function to be single valued. You just set this theta to theta plus
okay,
2
otherwise
pi.
Otherwise,
it's not single valued. Yes, this is a constraint that you must have this. So then we focus on this L equals 0 sector and for N equals 2. Then we solve for Majorana zero modes. So this is the BDJ equation. Now we look for a zero energy solution of the BDJ equation. And this wave function must be an eigenstate of the particle operator C. Now I can write down the BDJ equation like this. Remember this F is actually a function of the radial coordinate R. This is part of the definition of the Skirmian spin texture. So I have, so after spinning off the azimuthal part of the wave function, basically I only have the radial part of the wave function. So I only have the radial part of wave function. And then I apply this Majorana condition, then I can further show that, I can further show that the whole part of the wave function are linearly dependent related to the electron part of the wave function like this, where eta is a constant, plus minus one. And therefore, I only need to solve this BDJ equation in two dimensions in the electron space. So this is basically, this is then the BDJ equation I want to solve. This is the kinetic part, and this is chemical potential, and this alpha, recall this describes the coupling between the Skirmian, which is classical spin, and the itinerant electrons. So we solve for this equation. So here I show the Skirmian texture schematically. So I have three regions. In region one and in region three, as I mentioned, the spins are constant, either point up, and in region three it points down. In region two, the spin varies in both azimuthal and radial directions. Now it's more interesting to look at region two, because there you have a non-coplanar spin texture. The spin can vary in both directions, and then we find that actually this variation of spin texture, Skirmian local spin texture, local spin, gives you an effective spin orbit interaction. So to see this, you just make a local rotation of the spin of your BDJ equation for Majorana wave function. Then you get this equation like this. Now you still have the kinetic term, and then you have this renormalized chemical potential. This renormalization of chemical potential, you also find it in a one-dimensional topological superconductors with a helical spin texture. There, if you make a local rotation very similar to this one, you get a renormalized chemical potential by the effective spin orbit energy. Right here, this is the spin orbit energy, and you also have effective spin orbit interaction generated by this variation of Skirmian spin. This PR is actually this is the Hermitian radial momentum operator that you could define in the radial coordinate. So here this spin orbit interaction gives you the topological superconductivity you want, where you can hope to find Majorana bound state. The strength of the spin orbit, effective spin orbit interaction, depends on R, where R is the speed of modulation in radial direction that the spin rotates in the Skirmian spin texture. Okay. So if the spin varies fast along radial direction, then you have a stronger spin orbit interaction, effective spin orbit interaction. Okay, so we solved that equation. Then we find two Majorana solutions. So you solve the BDJ equation in three regions, and then you match the boundary conditions at the interfaces. then you see if you can find a unique Majorana wave function. So we found two. One is here at the inner surface, inner interface, and the other one is at the outer interface.
So this is all in the angular momentum L equals zero channel.
Yes, yes.
So there's just one state on the inner surface.
Yes, there's only one state in inner surface and one state at outer surface, provided that the topological charge of the skirmin is even. Then you could find a unique Majorana solution here and here. So here I show the wave function of the Majorana wave function at the inner interface. Then we find that actually this Majorana is actually a bound state. So basically, so it decays exponentially as you go into this region two. So here this is the wave function. This black curve, black line, this is the spin up component of electron part of the wave function. The red is the spin down component of the electron part. The whole parts are just related to the electron part. The decay length or the localization length of this Majorana depends on this R, which is the period, or basically this describes how fast the spin varies as you go radially, how fast the spin varies. So if the spin varies very fast as you go in radial direction, then you get a strong effective spin orbit interaction generated by this variation of spin in radial direction. And this also shows, actually we also find that this effective spin orbit interaction does not depend on the variation of spin in azimuthal direction. That's because before you solve this BDJ equation, you have used the conservation of angular momentum to spin off the angular part. So everything in the angular part is not relevant. So only the radial part of the wave function is relevant. There's one Majorana here, and there's another Majorana here. And we find also that this Majorana is not a bound state. It's a delocalized state. Actually, this is expected because when this criteria, this is people call it, it is so-called topological criteria. When this is satisfied and you find, and the Majorana emerge, this region one and the region three, they become gapless. While this region two is gapped because there's a effective spin orbit interaction that gives you the gap. So this is like you have a topological phase in region two and a trivial phase in region one and region three. So you can think of this trivial phase as a metal. So basically you have a topological superconductor here and then a piece of metal here. So, and we all know that if you have a Majorana, then it can, adjacent to a metal, then it will delocalize into the metal. This is the same, for the same reason, the Majorana wave function delocalizes into region three and also region one. But region one is bound, is a finite part. It's a finite region. So basically, you still have a Majorana bound state inside, but no Majorana bound state outside. This localization of Majorana bound state also depends on another parameter called P. This P is actually, this is another topological number I have to explain. So remember, I show you the picture of a skirmin. The spin of skirmin rotates from up spin at the core to down spin at the very far asymptotic region. So in this case, the spin rotates flips once as you go from the core to the very far asymptotic region. In that case, P is 1. But you could also hopefully generate skirmions with multiple spin flips. So you could have so spin is pointing up at the core, and then it flips once and twice and three times until you reach the very far asymptotic region. And if, as long as the spin flips an odd number of times, the texture is still topological. So, and then if you have more spin flips, actually this Majorana bound state is more localized. So that's what we found. So experimentally, we've talked to some experimentalists in Brigham Institute. That's where I was from. Professor Tokura, and these people are expert in skirmions. Actually, we discussed about this feasibility of skirmions with multiple spin flips. Actually, they showed me some data that have some signature about skirmions with multiple spin flips as you go from the center to the very far end of the system. So, but this kind of skirmion requires higher energy. And in some sense, it's not very stable. But there are some signature about this. So I have showed you the wave function of Majorana bound state. Now, now we want to see if this is protected by a sizable gap, because a Majorana bound state in a gapless system is it's not useful for other purposes, like, for example, quantum computing purposes. You always want a gap to protect the Majorana bound state. So we looked at the quasi-particle spectrum by solving the full BDJ Hamiltonian equation. So we considered three cases. These two are more relevant. So if the spin flips once from the core to the very, very far region, actually, then these two Majoranas are not very well localized. They will hybridize into finite energy fermions, just the Euro fermions, and that's what you see when P is 1, spin flips once, you see this wave. This shows you the wave function. It's no longer a wave function of Majorana, because you see this different color represent different components of the quasi-particle wave function in Nambu basis. So there are electron spin up, electron spin down, and hole spin up, hole spin down. If this Majorana wave function, then the electron part are related to the hole part. So like this, you only have two colors for the curves. But here you have four colors. Basically, this means that this electron part of wave function are not related to the whole part of the wave function. So this means that the Majorana actually hybridized and they have muted into just the normal complex fermions. So this is the case when you have a single spin flip, and it's a mess in the spectrum here. Now, if you consider a larger spin flips, more times of spin flips, if you consider here we set a very large number, 10. If your spin flips 10 times as it go from the core to the very far region, then you see you have a Majorana wave function here. So you only find two colors in the plot for spin up electron and spin down electron. The other two parts, the spin up hole and spin down hole wave function, they are just overlapped by these two, by the electron wave functions. So this shows that this is a Majorana wave function. And then if you look at the spectrum, you find this Majorana wave function, this horizontal direction is the angular momentum quantum number L. So the Majorana actually stays here at the L equals zero sector. So you have a Majorana here. And then you have a sizable gap, and then you have some extended box states here. And inside the gap, you find the usual subgap states you find in two-dimensional topological superconductors. Like for example, the usual subgap Fermion state you find near a superconducting vortex in a topological two-dimensional topological superconductor. Here, we also find some subgap states. These are localized states. These are not like the box states. The box states are extended states, extended throughout the system. These are just localized to very close to the interfaces, very close to the Majorana. So we have three types of states: Majorana, subgap, localized Fermion states, and extended box states.
It looks like you also have lots of zero modes for higher angular momentum.
Oh, right. Actually, that's a good question. Actually, these we have tested and find these are not zero modes. These are actually very low energy localized subgap states. And these subgap states, there are two sets of subgap states. So let me go back to this picture. So we find Majoranas here. And we find two sets of subgap states. One set of subgap states is very close to this interface. And the other set of subgap states is very close to this interface. So these subgap localized Fermion states are very close, are associated with these Majorana Fermions. And then you find, and then also you have box states. These box states are extended throughout the system, but they are above a certain gap. So these, the very low energy subgap states you're talking about, these are actually very close to the outer interface. So they are associated with this delocalized Majoranas. So, but they are very far away from this Majorana bound state. You can think of them semi-classically as picture of centrifugal force. Basically, they have a larger angular momentum. They're localized outside, so their energy are very small, relatively small. So, so this set of subgap states, they are at the outer interface. And these subgap states, these are at the inner interface, close to the Majorana bound state.
Why do you have a second minimum there?
This? This is kind of a minimum. This spectrum of a dispersion relation of these subgap states, they are not very much like the usual subgap states you find in 2D P plus IP superconductor. You see this kind of this kind of curve. Yeah. And you do find also very, very low energy subgap states even close to close to the inner interface, yes. So this is for the subgap states at the inner interface, and these are for the subgap states at outer interface. This is actually it's a quadratic dispersion we verified, but we didn't understand. We're still trying to understand this dispersion. It's very strange. But all these states, all these states are localized. And then we also consider another case where you have. We're trying to see if we could find a remedy for this simplest Skirmion with a single spin flip. So we consider at a spin orbit interaction, which is with respect the symmetry of the system. So it's not a Rushba, but it's a special type of spin-orbit interaction that gives you that keep the angular momentum still a good quantum number. Then with adding this spin-orbit interaction, there's again a sizable gap opened. But in this case, we have added a spin orbit interaction. So this is just a check whether it can open a gap with a spin orbit interaction. And we did find such case. And also you have this Majorana fermions. So here I just show very quickly how the wave function of box states. So this is the radial coordinate. So you see this is the system size. So this is box states. You see the wave function is extended everywhere. This is box states above a certain gap, sizable gap. And these are the localized subgap states, subgap fermions. These are fermions, but they are localized. So you can think of this R equals zero as the center of the skirmion, and here this is the outer edge of the skirmion. And then you also have this localized Majorana states here. So you have these are the wave functions of three types of states: Majorana, localized subgap fermion, and extended box states. So and then we did a further look at the phase transitions in the system. So we look at the wave function of Majoranas and see how it changes as you approach the phase transition point. So as I mentioned, this is the topological phase transition point. If alpha square is greater than this chemical potential square plus this parent potential square, then you have Majorana topological superconductivity and Majoranas. If this is smaller, then the topological criteria is not satisfied. Then you just have a trivial phase. So the phase transition is actually when this is equal. So we fixed the chemical potential, the renormalized chemical potential, and we fixed this pairing, and we vary this alpha. Alpha, remember, this is the exchange coupling between the local skirmion spin and the electron spin, itinerant electron spin. So when alpha is large, so when this is greater, then we have a topological phase, and you see this localization length. This is the localization length of the Majorana. Is finite. Then as you decrease this alpha exchange coupling, then this localization length, this Majorana wave function tends to delocalize. And then it diverges actually. This is the phase transition point. Then it diverges after the phase transition point. Then after this point, it goes to the same order of magnitude of the system size L. So this at this part, the Majorana wave function is localized. It's a Majorana bound state. But after this phase transition point, it delocalizes. So it disappears in the system. So this is just the sanity check of the whole picture and the check of the phase transition point. We also took a closer look at the subgap states because they are very annoying. I mean, they are close to the Majoranas, and they could cause decoherence if you were to use Majoranas as for quantum computings. We found that as I mentioned, there are two sets of subgap localized fermions. One set is at the outer interface, and we find this set of subgap fermions. They are neutral. They are charge neutral and they are spin neutral. But the subgap fermions close to the Majorana bound state at the inner interface, they have a finite charge polarization and spin polarization. I believe this is the charge, this charge polarization in color, and this is the spin polarization, and this is the spin polarization in along the direction of the local spin of the skirmin. And we also try to see if these subgap states can disappear if I increase the system size, or they can change. So we double the system size, but we find these subgap fermions, they are still there. So they are pretty much inherent to the system. So if we were to get rid of these subgap fermions, perhaps we could utilize their finite charge polarization, so they have a response to electromagnetic field, maybe. Then you can put some, utilize this property.
So you make an anti-paramagnetic to remove such
anti-paramagnetic skirmin. Why? What?
Okay, for the anti-paramagnetic skirmin, locally they didn't break the time force image, so it seems that the conditional like the bug spoken out, so there's no scattering between the scattering is weak, so there's no certain subgap states.
Maybe
it's already over time.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Okay, let's discuss it later. So okay, okay, I'll just show you a tight binding calculation. It also shows you the Majorana bond state peak, and also you find exact zero modes. This is the spectrum. And you find some subgap states. So this is like the bulk gap. This is the bulk gap, but you find a set of subgap states, and then at the very center you find zero modes. And then this is how the Majorana wave function looks like. And then you can so this is the last slide. I would like to just to discuss how you realize nanoabelian statistics of Majorana bound state. So basically, it's a similar idea as you braid Majoranas in one dimensions. So you create in one dimensions, you create a trijunction where you could have different effective phases at different branch of the junction, and then you move Majoranas, you exchange Majoranas. Here, I consider a superconducting trijunction. So the superconducting order parameter phase are different. And then let's assume I have two Majoranas. Then first I move this Majorana A to this region 3. Then I move Majorana B to the original region of Majorana A. And then I move Majorana A from this temporary position to the original position of Majorana B. In this case, if you go to the order parameter phase space, then you will see that this is the trajectory of the change of phase of Majorana A. So this is how it changes. And this is the trajectory of the change of phase of Majorana B. And because the wave function has to be single valued, you need to, because of there's this factor in the Majorana wave function, you need to add a branch cut to ensure that it's single valued. So then, in this case, you will see that one Majorana crosses the branch cut, and the other does not cross the branch cut. And so you immediately get a transformation rule, which is nonabelian. So Majorana, let's say Majorana A crosses the branch cut. So Majorana A goes to minus Majorana B, and Majorana B goes to Majorana A. And this S is plus minus one. This depends on where you put the branch cut. But it does not matter where you put the branch cut. you will always get a non-abelian transformation rule for this Majorana bound state. And then you can use this Majorana bound state for quantum computing. So here's the summary. So we find a Majorana bound state in the core of the magnetic bi-Skirmian. I put bi-Skirmian here is just to emphasize the topological charge is even. So you can get a Majorana. If it's odd, then you don't get Majorana when this criteria is satisfied. And then you have delocalized Majorana Fermion outside the Skirmion. The Majorana bound state is well protected if you have multiple spin flips. And then you can use a superconducting trijunction to braid Majorana bound state. And that's the message I want to deliver today. Thanks.
Already had some questions, so if you like, you can participate.